Okay, my scripture lesson is going to be from Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. And it said, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage and to the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. So today is Palm Sunday, and that's what this message is going to be about. And I've noticed in my studies, I always think I know a lot of the Bible and stuff, but I seem to always find something new whenever I'm studying, and I found out that where it was talking about Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna is only mentioned two times in the Bible, and I didn't know that. But it's mentioned one time in this passage and also in Mark. But my question this morning to you is, what is Palm Sunday? It is a Christian celebration to commemorate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. It's also a reminder of the welcoming of Jesus into our hearts and our willingness to follow him. And it is also the first day in Holy Week. So this week we're going to starts the beginning of Holy Week, and we have Monday, Thursday coming up, and Good Friday, and you know, the Lord. Today we're celebrating Jesus, but he's fixing to. At this time, he would be going, heading into a terrible week of pain and agony, and the reason that he came to the world and died for our sins. So a lot of the churches, they celebrate by blessing and distributing palm branches. Brother Glenn, did you get the palm branches? Yeah. We appreciate that. Brother Glenn got some of the palm branches here, but they are okay. So we do have some. So this is kind of but it's what they took off the trees and laid down for Jesus. Let me see. A lot of the churches celebrate by the palm branches, representing the palm branches laid down before Jesus coming unto Jerusalem by the crowd and riding on a donkey. Then they put the branches away until the next year, and the churches will put them up, and they'll burn them and make ashes for Ash Wednesday for the next coming year. It's usually how they do. Whenever Jesus entered Jerusalem, he was revealing his identity as being the Messiah. So today we're really celebrating before he goes into all the anguish and stuff that he went through to go to the cross. But we're celebrating today of him coming into the city and people acknowledging him that he, you know, is the king. I also found out that palm trees and the branches, they have a symbolic meaning to the Jews of today and also in ancient times. The trees originated in the Near East and in the Mediterranean world. And the palm branch is a symbol, and I didn't really know all this either, so ain't costing you no extra. The palm branch represents triumph over sin of the world while entering into Jerusalem. Also, they represent victory of the spirit over the flesh. Which talks about that in Revelation 7 and 9. And then it represents peace, since victory signals an end to a conflict or competition. The palm developed into a symbol of peace, meaning the meaning is in Islam, where it is often associated with paradise. And four is, it represents eternal life forevermore. And in here where they were talking about the people, they were following me, putting him, you know, on this colt and, taking him into the city, and everybody was laying the branches down for him to walk on, and they were throwing their clothing down, and they were praising Jesus, you know, as he was making his way into Jerusalem, as claiming that he was the King of the Jews. And they were hollering, "Hosanna in the highest." And like I said, Hosanna is only mentioned two places in the Bible, and the definition for Hosanna is a declaration of praise, and it's similar to Hallelujah, and it's actually a plea for salvation, and save us, we pray. Now, the Hebrew word for Hosanna is Yahshay. And that means to deliver or save. And Anna, which maybe Anna don't know this, it means to beg or beseech. So if you combine the words together in English, it means, "I beg you to save," or "please deliver us." So by saying Hosanna, the people were crying out for salvation. Hosanna only appears in the Bible two times, like I said, here in Matthew and once again in Mark chapter 11, verse 9. And this is exactly why Jesus had come to earth, and within a week he would be hanging on a cross for our sins. And so we're really celebrating today for what he really came to the earth to do, and that was to bring salvation to the world. So the palm branches and stuff was laid down for him to walk on, and the trees, you know, I could imagine the crowd that day, which there must have been as far as you could probably see, people trying to get to Jesus and touch him. And, you know, yesterday when we were doing the Easter egg hunt, I heard Kathy was talking. I thought she was going to get on my sermon a little bit. But she was talking, telling the kids about Jesus being on a donkey. And, you know, Jesus was just a plain, simple man. And like she was saying to the kids down there, I mean, he didn't ride no big fine chariot or anything like that, but you know, he was born in a stable, and then when he claimed that he was king, he come riding in on a donkey. So people just don't understand sometimes what all that he went through, and on the cross, the agony and everything that he had to go through. I don't know how many people here have maybe seen the Passion of the Christ, but it's one thing to hear about it, but then to actually see what was going on is a different story. And I wanted to tell you a little story that happened. There was a church many years ago, and they had got a new pastor, and he'd been there for a couple months, and there was an older couple that was in the congregation, and preacher would get up and he'd start preaching, and almost every Sunday the older guy said he'd fall asleep, and he'd begin snoring, and his wife would elbow him, you know, and wake him up. And so this went on for several weeks after the new preacher came in. And so the lady was just embarrassed, and so they were going out of church one Sunday after she had elbowed him and woke him up, and they went out, and the preacher was shaking hands with him, and he said, "Preacher, I'm so sorry." She says, "I'm sorry for my husband keeps falling asleep on you like that." She said, "It's terrible. I feel awful." And he told her, he said, "Well, you know, there's a way that you can break him from that." She said, "Oh, how's that?" And he says, "Well, you go home and you get your little medicine bottle, and with a little eyedropper on it," he said, "you put you some castor oil in that little bottle." And said, "Whenever he's in church and he falls off asleep like that, so you take that little medicine bottle and squirt it in his mouth," and said, he'll quit snoring. So she thought, okay, I'll try that next Sunday. And so she fixed up her little medicine bottle and everything, and the preacher got up that Sunday morning and started preaching, and he got about midway into his service, and here he goes snoring, you know. So she reached in her purse and she pulled that little bottle of castor oil out, and she stuck it right in the corner of his mouth and squeezed it in there. And all of a sudden, the guy jumped up out of the pew and said, "Oh, Lord, preacher, pray for me." He said, "My gallbladder's busted." So I was hoping there wouldn't nobody fall asleep on me in here while I'm doing that. But like I said, I believe it's good to have fun, and there's a time to be serious. And so if everybody would stand right now, I want to give an invitation, and we're going to have a congregational singing for the song, I Will Serve Thee.